This is a download from BFM 89.9, the business station.
And it's Geek Squawks. My name is Jeff Sandhu, together with Culture Pops, Matt Armitage. And we're going to talk about drones. Actually, we're going to talk a lot about technology and COVID. And we're starting off with drones.
Yeah, well, you know, drones have quite a bad reputation. Most of us tend to get irritated by drones more than we do anything else. Now, we touched on drones a little bit in MSP just before the break. Authorities in China are actually starting to use drones a lot more for all kinds of public activities. So there are companies that are deploying drones to actually spray antiseptics in public places. And of course, there are all of the delivery services that are now being done via drones. So again, some companies there have started to use drones for delivering, for example, medical supplies as well as smaller food supplies to people in strict self-quarantine. So we are seeing kind of an explosion in how this technology is being used. And closer to home in Malaysia, we're also seeing some of these deployments. So there are kind of two big schemes going on at the moment. The first is under the auspices of the military. So this is a combination of military drones that are being deployed in public spaces. These are being used to monitor people in, I think, 12 hotspots around the country. They're hotspots for people who are congregating. So these are people who are refusing to stay at home. So the drones can send messages, kind of broadcast across the area, but they can also record the people who are present in that area for the police to follow up with later on. And the army is also augmenting those drone services with the commercial drone services of other big companies. Now, I also saw an interesting ad. It was forwarded to me that someone saw on Facebook this week. The drone manufacturer DJI was urging drone operators to get in touch with MDEC, who also have their own scheme for using drones during this coronavirus period.
Mm. And you know what? I actually got in touch with one of the drone experts or industry players here in Malaysia to just talk to him a little bit about how technology overall can assist. Here's what he had to say about how just technology can help during COVID-19.
Now, in terms of how technology as a whole can help with COVID-19, there are three separate topics that comes into my mind immediately. The first, and I would say the most important, is technology helps with connectivity, where with all these online collaborative tools such as Microsoft Teams, Skype, Zoom, and so on available, we are able to stay connected while remaining separated from each other. This makes following the MCO a lot easier, where we can chat with colleagues online, friends online, continue working remotely, order food, groceries online without ever leaving our house. The second is technology helps with the facilitation of data, where we should really be leveraging and utilizing this information and data to help combat COVID-19. The most immediate thing that comes to my mind is, why on earth are we still using physical forms right now during times like this? Everything should be done online. Everything can be compiled online and reduce the need of people traveling around, physically handling forms in and so on. The third one is, with all this kind of data and information on hand, we can then lead to automation, where we've been seeing use cases across a lot of different countries now. Unmanned robots are delivering food from the lobby or even the kitchens to people's house or rooms. Drones are flying over, covering over long distance, delivering urgent medical supplies and emergency supplies. Again, automation really reduces the need for human-to-human interaction, which will ultimately slow down and flatten the curve.
And of course, also I asked him about just specifically drones, how can drone actually assist in this area of, movement control order?
As a drone technology company here in Malaysia, there are two roles that I firmly believe that we should play The first is just spreading the right messaging and awareness about drones in Malaysia. There has been a lot of media circulation going around over the last couple of days that the police, ATM, they are using drones for surveillance purposes and crowd dispersion and so on. It is good, and we have to paint that image that they are using drones to help out with the MCO, and it is not to invade on privacy concerns or to help control, restrict, collect information on them in any way. It is merely here to help everyone adhere and be compliant to the MCO and allow us to get through this hard period quicker. The second one is, with our contacts and customer base that have been built up over the years, I believe that we can crowdsource pilots, drone hardware from our database and potentially present that to the authorities and offer to help them if they need more assistance or pilots in operating drones to help them enforce MCO. So these two ways, creating awareness and crowdsourcing pilots and resources, I believe that's what we should do during this time.
The other part is also enforcing, because we don't just simply want any, individuals to have drones that think that they can just, step out of the house and actually fly these drones and pretend to be enforcements of the movement control order. So, I then asked him, what do you think is the best way to enforce this?
Now, I think the best way to enforce this in a safe manner is just to let the authorities do their job. We would be there to support them, to offer resources that we can afford. But more importantly, we should not get in their way and interfere them. We are aware that a lot of drone hobbyists, pilots, just by monitoring and looking at Facebook, they are flying drones during MCO because, everyone is bored. But our recommendation is try and prevent and stop that, because hobby drones may interfere with authority operations where they are using drones right now for surveillance, monitoring, and they do not need or can afford someone flying for leisure to have a drone potentially colliding with theirs that are operating for operations purposes, and then that would create, of course, problems and extra burden to our forces. So the best way is let them do their job. We support them in any way we want and we can, but do not interfere them at this moment.
And finally, JX also gave his thoughts on, do you think this will actually change the perceptions of drones?
Yes, most definitely this would help change and shape how drones are perceived in the future. Right now, the public perception of drones are that the small ones are typically used for photography, videography purposes, or entertainment purposes. And the larger drones are typically built for military or warfare purposes. But in fact, drones are more commonly used in a lot of other industrial sectors. Of course, with the public sector right now for surveillance, crowd monitoring and control, but also for other industries such as agriculture, survey and mapping, oil and gas, power line utility inspection, and a whole range of other industries. Our hope right now is with this situation where the public sector is fully adopting the technology, more people can see that drones can do good and improve efficiencies. Thus, in the future, are more willing to try and adopt this technology in their each respective fields.
And that was JX Cheong, who is the CEO of Polar Drone. Basically, just giving, as an industry player, as a drone expert himself, of course, me and you, Matt, we're not drone experts. So he's giving his insights on how technology can help and how drones can assist in this period of time. Now, we'll go for a short break, but when we come back, we do have a very special and interesting King of Culture as Matt is going to continue his Star Trek Picard Prasad's endorsement, I shall say. We'll be right back. BFM 89.9.
Buggy Free Minum. BFM 89.9. The Business Station.
Welcome back to Geek Squawks. My name is Jeff Sander, together with Culture Pop's Matt Armitage. Matt, you have the mic now to continue your endorsements on Picard.
Well, yeah, usually the King of Culture is picked by me, but Jeff, you actually brought this one to my attention. So this is Patrick Stewart, who, of course, is Jean-Luc Picard. Or we could say that Jean-Luc Picard occasionally moonlights as the actor Patrick Stewart. That's probably a more accurate thing to say. And a few days ago, I think it was last weekend, he read one of Shakespeare's sonnets as a little to camera piece. And it was so wildly popular that he's actually started reading a sonnet every day. So I think he started with sonnet 116. And since then, he's reacted to kind of the response of fans all around the world. And now he reads out these kind of, they're fairly short, you know, 1.5 minute kind of video messages to camera, with him just reading these sonnets. Now, firstly, the sonnets themselves are, you know, really beautiful things to read and to listen to, but to hear it from this kind of veteran of the Royal Shakespeare Company is just a really great way to lighten your mood and kind of brighten your day. You hear this fantastic voice and you hear these incredible words, and the combination is, you know, it's just kind of very life-affirming.
So yeah, that was a King of Culture. So, you know, let's continue on our focus on technology and how it's helping COVID-19. If we look down south in Singapore, actually how they've been containing the virus spread is pretty impressive. And also they're using a lot of technology similar to how, I guess, China has been, you know, using it for, as we've spoken about it in MSP, Singapore is actually now using a smartphone app to monitor the spread of the coronavirus by actually tracking people who may have been exposed. The government's approach has really been, you know, using technology as much as they can, because we all know that Singapore has literally cameras almost every corner of the street. So they've actually combined all of the information that they have into an app called Trace Together, which basically is just looking at how, you know, people could get involved and help contact tracers, but also using high-tech surveillance tools that are run by the government, and, you know, getting people to use their Bluetooth as proximity tools, and just sending alerts for those who have come in contact, for those who have been tested positive or is at the high risk of carrying the coronavirus itself. And then over in Taiwan, you know, they've actually been using an electronic fence for quarantine leads of, you know, wave of virus monitoring. So they're combining technology and human efforts to enforce quarantines that require people who have been exposed to the virus to actually stay at home. But Taiwan's system is to believe to be the first using a mobile phone tracking for that purpose. And over in China, they've actually used robots on wheels to go around public places and dispense hand sanitizers. And I think that's pretty cute. But overall, the tech industry is actually really showing its muscle here, because they're also hiring hundreds and thousands of workers, especially over in the US.
Yeah, so we've seen, for example, companies like Amazon, who are kind of aggressively hiring, I think, up to about 100,000 warehouse workers at the moment. Because, you know, they've had all this demand for delivery services. We've also seen companies like Instacart in the US, which I'd never heard about, but apparently, you know, it's a bit like Happy Fresh, I think, was in Malaysia. You hire somebody to go and do your grocery shopping for you. So, of course, with all of this pressure on going to the store, there's a lot of growth potential in this area, especially for delivery services. But we are seeing this across the board with big technology at the moment. The big cloud service providers, you know, Amazon and Microsoft and Google, are also cutting their prices and aggressively looking for new business, because companies have realized that you know, it's much harder to maintain their own infrastructure during these periods where they have to worry about the safety of their staff. So they're kind of accelerating this transition to using these bigger companies. Of course, we're seeing this explosion in video calling and messaging, but it's just kind of across the board. I think we mentioned in MSP as well, we're likely to see a movement towards a lot more automation on the shop floor and the manufacturing floor as well over the next kind of year to 2 years, as companies become a lot more kind of technology centric and start looking at these kind of centralized players for logistics responses and distribution responses, and move away from kind of human workers for manufacture as well. Now, what that means for a lot of people who are going to be made unemployed during this crisis, only time will tell. Hopefully there will be other opportunities for those people to have jobs. But certainly this has shown us, one, the value of technology, but also, you know, it is speeding up that acceleration away from human workers and to this kind of centralized and more data-centric approach.
One other fun thing that technology has also helped us is to help us to keep us entertained during this period of time where I think, you know, many countries are going through some sort of a lockdown period. And one of the things that I stumbled across on The Guardian is that 10 of the world's best museums or art galleries are now actually being able to do it virtually. Things like the J. Paul Getty Museum in Los Angeles or the Vatican Museums in Rome, or even just the Natural History Museum in London, they're all actually are now available in a virtual space. So, you know, if you've got free time at home, you know, take some time and you could still travel. It's just virtual tourism, I guess. And, you know, later on in the coming weeks, you know, we will be diving deeper into virtual tourism and virtual experiences. And is the year 2020 a virtual year? You know, who knows? Anyways, let's move on to Geek Tunes. What do we have, Matt?
Well, we have the latest song by John Legend, not the normal kind of artist that I pick for a geek tune. This is his latest single. It's called Actions, but I love the sample in it. It's a sample of a song called The Edge by David McCallum. But most people will know it from the Dr. Dre track, The Next Episode. So this is John Legend with Actions.
BFM 89.9.
Thank you for listening to this podcast. To find more great interviews, go to bfm.my or find us on iTunes. BFM 89.9, the business station.